Well, say, Lord, I thank you.
Lord, I thank you.
That I have ears that hear.
I have eyes that see.
And my heart does perceive.
And
you are speaking to me. Hallelujah. Some of you might be saying in your mind, well, do I really? For me, I can truthfully say that there was quite a season where I was receiving, but I didn't believe I was receiving. I was hearing, and it took less time for me to believe that than it took for me to comprehend what I was really hearing. I want to take you to 1 John chapter 4. And to perceive that God loves us, and be comprehending that reality for yourself is the beginning of wisdom. So in verse 7, First John 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. When you realize that some are lovers of themselves but not of God, you know that they say they love, but it's conditional upon your servitude or your submission. And I'm sure you've tasted some of that. I don't think there's anybody in this realm that has not tasted some of that. Verse 9 says, this is how God shows his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. It doesn't say for him. It says through him. Why would he say that we might live through him? It's because we don't comprehend the body ministry. If you go back to Corinthians, and I could take you there, but I'm not going to. It says the body of Christ is like our body. Thumbs, fingers, hands, feet, legs. And he goes on to explain, different parts do different jobs. Yes or no? Yes. I don't know about you, but I enjoy having two legs. But we've got a lady right now who just had her leg cut off. She's hurting. She's hurting even if the leg is gone. She can't maneuver. She can't do what she wants. She's struggling. And I wouldn't want it to be me. I had that very close, where the doctor had said, if we can't get this infection, the leg's coming off. Yeah. Two surgeries later, the leg stayed on. But I did hear that at the same time that I was attacked, the Prime Minister of Canada was attacked. The same year, basically the same season, and he lost his leg. I wonder why I got mine and he doesn't have his. You see, there was a team of intercessors that were on me and on my case. Selfless people calling, reminding me, by the stripes of Jesus you've been healed, 1 Peter 2:24. Did I feel healed? Nope. My knee was about the size of my waist, and that's roughly 33, 34 inches. So that should give you a clue if it was comfortable or not. The open wound stayed open from September to February. So I had plenty of time to look at it. And every day it had to be cleaned out. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Did I understand that if it wouldn't have been for the intercessors, I might have lost not only my leg, but my life? Nope, not at the time. At that time, I did not perceive that understanding. Do I see it now? Yes, I can look back. And I know. Because it's more than 20 years. It took, you know, stubborn me a long time to figure it out. My mind, my will, my emotions could give you 110 reasons why I wasn't worthy to receive the healing of the Lord. Verse 10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for my sins. Kim's version. My sins. An atoning sacrifice for all of what I've done wrong. You know, if you take this word seriously, you're going to be changed tonight. If you look at it for what it says, if you needed to repeat it to yourself, please do so. Again, verse 10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You see, the Jews understood that you could give up a lamb, you could give up a steer, you could give up a couple of doves. You could give up. But they didn't think about God giving up his own. I think the only one that understood that was Abraham. See, Abraham had a vision that there would be a substitute, even if his son died on that mountain. That mountain is downtown Jerusalem. It hasn't changed. Still there. You see, love is not what I can do for you. It's what you can do for those that are in need. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Not criticize, not find fault, but to love. Not to see what they do wrong, but what they are capable of doing and appreciate whatever that happens to be. Verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, not outside of us. He lives in us. And his love is made complete Not outside of us, but in us. Just kind of close your eyes right now. And I want you to repeat after me. Even if I don't see God.
Even if I don't see God.
But God sees me.
God sees me.
Do I see God in my brother?
Do I see God in my brother?
When he does things for me.
When he does things for me.
Do I see God in my sister?
Do I see God in my sister?
When he does or she does for me.
When she does for me.
But if we love one another.
If we love one another.
God lives in me.
God lives in me.
And his love is made complete in me.
And his love is made complete in me.
Verse 13. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. There's your proof. You say, well, the proof is in the pudding. When you give of yourself, like a father giving up his son for us to come to life, then we can understand that he hardly saw what we did wrong, and he still sent out his son. 1 Corinthians 13 says, when you see love in action hardly sees what the other one does that is wrong. Hardly sees, meaning it's, yeah, he knows it's wrong, but it's like it doesn't stop him from going forward with his agenda to bless us and to heal us in spite of the old patterns in us. Again, verse 13, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. Why does it say we know? It's comprehension. It's a level of understanding, of knowledge, that his ability to just forgive us is so much greater than our ability to forgive ourselves. Amen. And sometimes we hold ourselves so accountable under the legalism that we lived under, lived, past tense. We're to come to life with a new understanding of ourselves and how much God has done for us and how much he's still doing. Amen?
Amen.
14. And we have seen the testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whew, we are kidding. They don't deserve to be healed. They don't deserve to be set free. I mean, I could find everything wrong with CNN. And NBC, and ABC, and everyone else that I don't see thinking like I do. Are you praying for the world? Do you pray for those that don't think that you're worth it? Do you intercede for them? When the Holy Spirit says, hey, pray for those that are on national television. Oh, Lord, they don't deserve it. They don't like my this or my that or my way of thinking. 15. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. Whoo! Whoa! You've got to be kidding me, Kim. Nope, not kidding. That's his word. It's a two-way street. Sixteen, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We rely on his love for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. When you digest that one, healing will begin to happen inside. When I say begin, because you're going to be fighting your brain. You're going to be fighting your mind, your emotions, and all the things you've learned. And I had to learn to put that aside and say, God, I know your word is true. So if his word is true, mine can be what? True. My word, my thoughts, my emotions can be what? Deceived, deluded? Yeah. Let's go back to verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in the world we are like him. Oh! We talked about that a little earlier. How was he treated? Yeah. 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So if you're constantly in fear and torment, you need to give that word a good workout. When you're totally confident of the love of God, the fear of judgment is going to fall away. Because you see, God has already had a schedule inside of you. Every year you turn a page, and every year he wants you to mature. Every year he wants you to focus on your eternal destiny. I made somebody repeat something tonight. And I made her wear it. I forced her into it. I was punishing her. No. It says, I am not what the world says that I am. I am what God says I am. And today I am stepping into my end time destiny. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
What happened when you declared that the first time?
A relief.
Say it with me. Say, I am not what the world says I am.
I am what God says I am.
And today,
I
am stepping into
my end time destiny.
Wow. Pretty cool stuff, isn't it? If you're in fear and being punished, then you need to get a new attitude. And you need to stay focused on what 1 John 4 tells you. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, because I have a sense you've had it right up to here. And I don't mean that because you're discouraged. It's you're full. So just close your eyes. Put one hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I heard these words tonight. Now they got to go in.
They got to
be cooked.
If
I pull it out of the oven,
like a cake,
before it's done,
it'll
flop.
I need to go back.
I need to read it for myself.
So 1
John
4
is my homework for the week.
Hallelujah.
Until it becomes real to me. It's just words on a page. It's got to be alive in me. I've got to know that Jesus already paid the price. And that he lives in me. And I live in him. And we are one.
And
I'm learning to love.
And
I'm not there yet, Lord. But I need your grace this week. To love myself first. Because Papa loves me already. I got to get a new attitude. Papa loves me. I've got to get this in. It can't be somebody else's opinion. It's God's opinion of his love for me. Hallelujah. So I'm talking to me. Get a clue, Kim.
Get a clue,
Jackie. Get a clue, every one of us. God is love. And perfect love casts out all the fear. Because fear brings torment. So I reject the fear. I reject what it's done to me. And the torment he put me through. Because it's straight out of hell. And I'm not going there. Hallelujah. How many felt a stirring on the inside of their belly as the words were coming out? Put your hand up. Thank you. You know why? Because we're so accustomed to being critics. And I asked the Lord to cancel your criticalness of yourself tonight. Okay? So that was the commission he gave me tonight. Get rid of the critic. Put him on retirement. Don't give him benefits, please. Okay. Starve him out of your heart. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Say, I'm going to love me. Look at another neighbor. Say, I'm going to love me. It's established. I'm getting a new attitude. I'm going to love me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, you got it. I hope you're not too late, girl.
Oh. Right on time.
Go home quick.
I'm going to miss anything.
Tell me.
No clue right now.
So I took a sip.
Oh, you're gonna love this girl.
It's a force.
It's a commission.
That's you.
Too smart. Yeah, that's usually the way it is.
Yes.
They get way too smart.
Okay.
Yeah. I am receiving that blessing. God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
You better love this boy.
I kind of have a passion on this one too, Bill.
Oh, okay, good. Good for you.
Good word.
His word.